where if you weren't here last weekend, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to last week's message. It was good. Now, you won't find it on Facebook, unfortunately, because Facebook gets to do whatever they want to do on Facebook, and for some reason, they did not like our video, and they deleted it. And so you can go to the website, you can go to our podcast, but man, I really, really encourage you to go back as we launch this series, Made for More, and take I'll listen again at that sermon. Last week, Pastor reminded us that in this life as Christians, there's going to be detours. That in this life as Christians, sometimes we're going to come up against some circumstances that are literally going to cause our path to stop. And other times, you know, in life, as we come around an unexpected turn, we're going to have to yield, right? When it was about 8 years ago, a really good friend of mine from the Chicagoland area, just an awesome guy, absolutely love this dude. We had not talked in some time, and he called me up, and I was actually at West County Mall, right next to Starbucks. My kids were much younger at that time, and they were playing. I was sitting there contemplating life and things and where I was at and my current situation, because I had an abrupt stop in life. And this guy calls me, Mike Alvarez calls me. He says, "Hey man, I know we haven't talked in a while, but I feel like I need to tell you something." And I said, "Shoot man, I'm listening." He said, "Sean, as the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, I would say to you also that the stops of a righteous man are ordered by God." Listen, despite our detours, despite our rocky roads, our pastor last week reminded us that God oftentimes is doing more than we can see. That he's up to something larger than our earthly minds can comprehend. And I've put a lot of thought into this title. I've put a lot of thought into the series. I mean, this last week, my mind has literally been consumed with this idea of made for more. And here at LCC, we have a creative team that does an incredible job helping us be as creative as we can be on Sunday mornings, on the weekend services, so that the sermon and the service is more enjoyable and all that kind of stuff. And we need to use the creativity that God's given us. And I love that. And it's awesome. It's wonderful. But with this series, it wasn't that case. Pastor looked at us and he said, "We're going to do a series 4 weeks long, and it's going to be titled Made for More." And I've thought about this, and I've thought about this, and I've thought about this, because this title, it's consumed my thoughts, it's consumed my prayer life, it's consumed my study time, Made for More. And I would say to you this morning, that this isn't just a title. I really believe this with all of my heart. This isn't just a title. This is a word from the Lord, made for more. This is a word from the Lord for you personally. Not that what you are is bad. Not that what you are, God wants you to turn in for something greater. Not at all am I saying that. But what I am saying to you, man, you are made for more. God wants to necessarily take you right by your face and look at you and say, "It's going to be good. You're made for more." And not only is this a word for this, for you as individuals, but this also is a word for this faith family. For this faith family. For us collectively, for us as a whole. Hey, listen, I've gotten the joy to actually be a part of Life Community Church for the 6 years that it's existed. I was here for the grand opening. Jamie and I met right before this church launched. Now, I've only been on staff for 2 years, and the last 6 years have been amazing. They've been awesome. They've been wonderful. But I think, right, that this is not just a title, that this is something we'll talk about for years to come, that you, that this faith family, moving forward, made for more. Made for more. Oftentimes in the gospel, when Jesus was teaching, he would, when he had, it's tied up here. You would see him, and he would be in big crowds, and he'd be teaching something, and he'd be standing, and everybody would be paying attention, and people would be filling in. And sure, whenever Jesus speaks, man, it's like you want to listen. I mean, it is God, right? You know, talking all that kind of good stuff. And but there's other times where Jesus would like walk away, and I don't know how it actually happened. Like if people just knew, and some knew to come, some knew to stay. You know, like he would actually leave the environment that he's in, and he would go to a new environment where it was kind of like smaller, and there'd only be maybe 6 or 12 or 3. People that would come in, and he would take a seat before he'd do anything. He'd sit down. And those that had walked into the environment, had walked in the room and saw Jesus sit down, knew at this point that Jesus had something very important to say. And they knew they better open up their ears and listen. Because the information they're about to get was going to be some really good information. Information that would forever change their lives. And so I say this to you this morning. This is more than a title. God wants to grab a hold of your attention this morning and say to you, you were made for more. We can't continue in the future how we've walked in the past. We were made for more. This is not one of my most entertaining talks, but I do think that it could be one of the most impactful talks I've ever given, if applied. So, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are going to start there this morning. First Corinthians 12, verse 1, reads this way. Now, dear brothers and sisters, Paul's talking to Christians, talking to those that are fully devoted followers of Christ, talking to those that have made a commitment to follow him and not follow anybody else. They understand that they're sinners and needed a Savior, and Jesus is about to be that. Not fully do they understand that, but this is where they're at. And so now, dear brothers and sisters, Paul is talking to Christians regarding your question about spiritual abilities. Other translations say spiritual gifts. Regarding your question, so this faith family, this body, they're concerned about purpose, where they're going, what's happening, what's taking place. Paul, we've got some questions, and we'd wish you'd get us some answers. And he continues on and says, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say. Here's what I know. The two most important questions that almost every one of us asks and want answers to are these questions. Why am I here? What do I do? Why am I here? What do I do? And if you are a senior in high school, you're feeling these two questions right now. Or if you've paid a lot of money for a college bill and you're not doing what you feel like you should be doing, you're feeling these two questions right now. Or if you go to a job every single day that you wish you didn't have to go to, you're feeling these two questions right now. Listen, Gallup Research says this. This research company, large research company, does all this research. They say this, 80% of you feel dissatisfied at your jobs. You can't get out of them though, can you? Because you got a house and kids and cars. 80% of you feel dissatisfied at your jobs. Here's what I want us to understand. Here's what I think Paul wants us to understand this morning. Not operating in your spiritual gift will leave you unfulfilled, aimlessly wandering through this life. You are at a disadvantage when you are not operating in your spiritual gifts. And not only are you at a disadvantage, this faith family is at a disadvantage when you're not operating in your spiritual gifts. You've been created for a specific purpose. There's been something that's been imparted into you when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, right? And if 80% of us are going to work every single day not liking it, is there any reflection of that in our walks with Christ? God, what have you created me for? God, what am I supposed to do about it? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. Let's continue on. This is so good. I love that Paul pauses here, right, to reflect on something so important before he moves on to spiritual gifts. He says this, verse 2, you know that when you were still pagans, right? So back when you used to go to college and you did college things, you with me, right? Somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. I love that we don't use that language here, idols, in today's world, but mute idols. You followed, you worship things like success, you worship things like fame, you worship things like sex, you worship things like money, you worship things like power, you worship things like sports, and they're mute idols. They did nothing for you, but left you pagans, as pagans. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul, this is really good stuff. The Holy Spirit leads people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads people to be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps people make Jesus Lord of their life. If Jesus is Lord of your life, it is because the Holy Spirit has moved you in that direction. You didn't wake up one day and say, I want to live for God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that has drawn you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is for you. We can trust Him, but oftentimes, don't we just stop after we know that we're in good standing with Jesus now? I know that I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I know that's Jesus. I'm good. Now I'll just aimlessly wander around the church, aimlessly wander around my community. And here's what I've come to realize as I've gotten older, as I've matured, as years have gone by as a Christian, is the Holy Spirit's been a lot longer part of my life than oftentimes I give Him credit for. Let's go to verse 3, the last part of verse 3. It says this: no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's really hammering something home here. And this is key. This is key. This is key before we even move on. This is so important. Is Jesus the highest authority in your life? You're made for more. Is Jesus the highest authority in your life? Is He Lord? Is His opinion and His word supreme in your life? Is it above all else? Do I value no one and nothing more than Jesus? Do I love no one more and nothing more than Jesus? Do I serve? Do I honor? Do I obey? Do I follow Jesus? Interesting what Webster has to say about this definition of Lord. It's lordship, and Lord is not a word that you hear in our vocabulary very often anymore. But he says this: a person who has authority, has control, has power over others, a master, a chief, a ruler. Is Jesus that in your life? Because we're all excited about Him being Savior. For sure, we're excited. But is He Lord? Do you believe in the Lordship of Jesus? We love calling Him Savior. But is He Lord? Listen. You were made for more. But you will never know this more unless you first know Him as Lord. You'll never know His more unless you first know Him as Lord. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm not talking about your pathway to heaven. That pathway is by the way of Jesus and what God did through Jesus by bringing Jesus to this earth and dying for our sins. And we just receive that openly, freely. It is a gift. But folks, there's a lot more to this Christian life than just making that decision. There's a lot more. And that more, oh my goodness, it affects you, it affects your wife, it affects your kids, it affects your neighbors, it affects your coworkers, it affects how you walk into the job you don't like, it affects how you walk out of the job you don't like. It affects everything about you. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, verse 11, let's jump there. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts to serve others, to bless others, to benefit others, so that the whole, and hear this, edified, so that the whole church can be built up. Man, hear this. God has given you a gift. And let me say this to you. You are a gift to this church. And you need to know that. Every single one of you. It's not by chance, it's not by accident that God has brought you here. And you are a gift to this church. God has given you a specific gift. The Holy Spirit that is in you and the spiritual gift that has been imparted to you is part of the gift that you give to this faith family. The unfortunate part, the stats tell us that only 25% of those that call themselves fully devoted followers of Christ actually even know what that gift is. 75% of us aren't even functioning in that gift. If we can trust the Holy Spirit, He's led us to Jesus. He's allowed us and to see this great relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father. Can we not trust Him? Other areas of our lives as well, like our purpose, why we're here, what we're supposed to do. You can find a list of spiritual gifts, and it would literally take Jamie and I, like a whole year every Sunday morning if we were to go through all of the gifts, right? Because you can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10, Romans 12, 6 through 8, Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, and I'd encourage you to write these down, take them home, and look at them, and pay attention to them, and read all about them, right? And I want to help you find your spiritual gift, the thing that you've been created to do, not the talents, right, that you've mustered up, that you've trained, worked, and now you're good at that. No, your spiritual gift, the thing that you don't have to work at, the thing that you're naturally already good at, the thing that you could teach everyone about, that thing. Listen, all of us, every single one of us has an important role to play when it comes to spiritual gifts. This whole faith family is affected when we're not functioning in our spiritual gifts. And oftentimes, if you've been here for some time at all, if you've been here for 6 or 7 months or 6 or 7 years, and you've walked in and you're kind of on the fringe and you're kind of thinking, I'm not sure where I fit or I don't know. Man, they've got a lot of people on the stage. It seems like they got a lot of people in the well. They got a lot of people over here. They got a lot of people here, all this kind of stuff. And you're like, they don't need me. That's a lie. I mean, that is a lie. We need you because of what the gospel tells us. You have something to give to this faith family. We need you. You are a gift to this church. So, what's a spiritual gift? Let me read this again, 4 through 6, because I want you to see a few words here. But we serve different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. It is a gift of God to empower you to meet a need, and the purpose is for the common good. It is a gift of God to empower you to meet a need for the purpose of the common good. A gift that God has given you specifically empowers you to go serve for the common good of the people. Who in the world would not want to know what that is? And listen, I don't know if you've turned on any form of news lately, but I'm telling you, it seems like as the whole world is being shooken. It seems as like, I had this thought the other day, like we can't even move a group of people to the next tragedy to help them because the first one hasn't even stopped. I mean, it's crazy. It is just nuts, whether it's in St. Louis or whether it's in Texas or whether it's in Florida or whether it's in Puerto Rico or whether it's in California. I mean, there's so many needs, and I feel like things are happening so fast, we forget that Puerto Rico doesn't even have electricity and they're living like, you know, washing clothes in a river. And it's like, whoa, I mean, what's going on? Listen, it's so important, right, that we have this desire, right, to buy tons of bottles of water and take those to people, to buy physical things and meet physical needs. It has to happen. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's great. We need to do those things, and we will always be a church that does those things. But if we go and do those things without understanding what our spiritual gift is, are we really serving those people? Or are we just meeting physical need? I mean, it's interesting that Paul, before he even talks about spiritual gifts, he says, whoa, remember, Jesus is Lord. And that's the main issue. We need people to understand who Jesus is, and that's the reason why we have spiritual gifts. The reason why we have spiritual gifts is because it edifies, it glorifies, like Pastor even talked about last week, it's about glorifying God, glorifying Jesus Christ. Folks, listen, we've got to stop serving the needs of this world without understanding our spiritual gifts. They go hand in hand. They're extremely important. And we're doing a disservice to our community, to our faith family, to those that are in need when we just serve them a physical need without understanding our spiritual gift. Because, man, listen, you know what it's like when somebody connects with you and it's like they're in their world and you're in their world and something just amazing happens. And it's because of the work of God. Who gets spiritual gifts? Verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Every Christian, if you're a Christian in here today, you get a spiritual gift. How are they distributed? It is, verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, right? I look at all those lists and I'm like, I like that one. I like that one. I do not want that one. You know, I like that one. I like that one. You know, no, we don't get to do that. He knows who we are and he knows what we've been created for. The Holy Spirit is the one. How do I determine these gifts? Hey, real practical. Get on Google and search spiritual gifts. There'll be like 8 million posts. Just start hammering about 100,000 of them a week and you'll get to the end quick. I mean, there's so much information out here, folks. We just got to take initiative and do something, right? Email 7 friends. This could turn out bad for you or turn out good for you. I'm not sure. Email 7 good friends that'd be honest with you and just be honest. Say, hey, what am I good at? Where do I excel? What do you see in my life? Right? Number 3, and this is so important, and this is so good, and I really, really hope you take the time to do it. Christine's done a great job of putting the spiritual gifts test on our website. You scroll all the way out on the bottom, and you click spiritual gifts, and you put in your information, and you start taking that test. It won't take you very long. If you're a husband or wife, I'd encourage you to take it together, because then you'll be honest, at least. And your wife will be like, wait a second, this is not the guy that I married, you know? And what is going on here? And, you know, and so do it to results. It done, like make it happen. The best part is you get an email of the results and I get an email of the results. So then I can call you and say, hey, listen, let's talk about that spiritual gift testing you just took. What's the laughs for? Right? And then sneaky. I'm like the spirit, folks. I'm just kidding. And so, hey, so listen, it's so important. I want to encourage you to do that, right? Because you depend on it. And this faith family depends on it. And this is so practical. We already have it. We don't have to figure it out. We just got to go after it. It's like, here's a gift. Here's a $1 million lottery ticket. All you got to do is check the numbers on Wednesday and you win $1 million. Who's not checking the numbers on Wednesday? Right? Come on. All right, let me go to 1 Timothy 4, 14 through 16. Paul sees some gifts in this incredible leader, Timothy. This young person, and he says this, verse 14, do not neglect your gift. Now, I'm sitting down, but Paul says it with great passion, I think. Timothy, don't neglect your gift. You received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. I was there. I was a part of the process. What are you doing? Stop neglecting your gift, Timothy. And Jesus also very passionate about this idea of gifts and talents in Matthew 25. And most of us know the story of the parable of the talents. The master gives these talents away and then he comes back and he says, what'd you do with the talent? And there's one guy, right? And I want to be that guy. There's one guy that said, I hid mine. I was scared to use it. And the master's like, the master describes, remember Jesus is the one telling the story. The master describes the man this way, you wicked and slothful man. Right? Listen, you don't want to be that guy. God, I never got around to finding out what my God-given gifts were. All you got to do is a little research, get a little focused, be a little determined, and figure it out. Verse 15, Timothy, Paul goes on to say, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Don't fix your weaknesses. Perfect your strengths. Don't fix your weaknesses, perfect your strengths. Be diligent in what God's called you to do. Focus on that. Verse 15, stay so that everyone may see your progress, right? This affects the whole body. When you're functioning, when you're working in your spiritual gifts and what and your talents and what God's called you to do, it affects me, it affects the whole house. And it does something amazing in this house. We need to pursue our gifts. 4:16 says, persevere in them because if you do, you will see both yourself and you will save both yourself and your hearers. And then in chapter 2, 2 Timothy 1:6, six sentences in, he says, stir up, fan into the flame. The gifts of God. What happens when you, my son loves to do this when the fire is really small, right? And it affects everybody and everybody's really glad, except if, especially if it's a cool night. Listen, when we fan the flame of our spiritual gifts, we grow spiritually and those around us grow spiritually. There's a pastor that I love to follow and listen to, and I wish I could hang out with, and all that kind of good stuff. But he's been, by way of podcast and video and sitting underneath his ministry, a mentor to me. And he shares this a really cool illustration about talents and God-given gifts and all that kind of stuff. This is a pool. Can you tell? All right, cool. And so here's the pool. Here's the diving board. And he says, you know, when you take that spiritual gifts test, and some of you have done this already, right? Like, this is not, you know, foreign information to most of the people in this room. But what I'm about to say is very true, probably about maybe a lot of you. And so when you take that gifts test, when you, like, it'll give you your top five. And you're like, man, I know my top three. This is great. I'm a new person. It's going to be a new day. I'm going to have all this purpose and fulfillment. I cannot wait. This is awesome. So then you're like, you come to me, or you come to Jamie or Jody or whatever, how do I get involved, you know? And folks, this is not a push because we need more kids workers, to which we do need more kids workers. But that's not the push here. I promise you, like, Jody's not slipped me a note and said, I need more volunteers. You're speaking this weekend, tell them. You know, that's not where we're at. But you could take it that way if you want to. And so here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is oftentimes what we do. We find those top three spiritual gifts, and we finally get the courage to get on the diving board. And we take a look at that pool, and we've spotted our spiritual gift, and you know what we do? We take a leap, and we are excited about it. It's like cannonball, swan dive. It's awesome. We're like, this is going to be wonderful. And then we land. And what happens when we land? It's not a belly flop, but it's almost like a belly flop. We're like, ugh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I'm kind of hurting. I'm kind of overused. I'm kind of worn out. I'm kind of like not feeling purpose. I'm kind of wanting to throw in the towel, but if I know I do throw in the towel, then like it's going to affect a lot of people. Like, duh. And then we walk into church like this, you know. Right? And this is not what God intended your spiritual gift or your purpose to look like at all. And so this is what we do, right? We come on over here to the ladder and we get out of the pool and we find this really nice, comfortable chair. And we just lay on the side of the pool, and we watch everybody else play in the pool. And we come in, we sit down, and we watch. And we leave, and we come in, and we sit down, and we watch. And we leave. I'll work on this side now, too. Come in, and we sit down, and we watch. Sorry, this side, I did you twice. And you know what I'm saying? This is what we do, right? Listen, if you are a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, getting out of the pool is never an option. And it's never an option for this reason, because people's eternity is depending on it. That's why it's not an option. It's because people out there still don't understand that Jesus is Lord. And the Holy Spirit is working, and the Holy Spirit is working through your gift, through your community, through your coworkers, through your church family to do something amazing in their lives. And oftentimes what we realize is, I was hurt, I'm not feeling good, and we get out. And we can't do that. This is never, ever, ever, ever an option for us. When we jump and we land and the landing's not the way we want it to be, the landing, we need to swim over this side of the pool. And if that's not working out for us, we need to swim over this side of the pool, and we need to... And oftentimes, it's like the fifth or seventh time before you realize, man, this is my sweet spot. I mean, this is what I'm created to do, right? Some of us in here are called to teach, but the ideas of getting up in front of adults on a Sunday morning to teach freak you out. It's not the only place in this church to teach. There's a lot of places to teach. There's tons of places to teach. We need you functioning in your spiritual gift. We need you functioning in your spiritual gift. So, Casey, if you guys could come on up. And so, Nate, can you get rid of this for me? And if you guys could come up as we wrap things up. So why do the stats say that 25% of us have actually figured it out and 75% of us have not at all? I mean, why in the world would we get a $1 million lottery ticket, know that we've won, and not choose to pursue that? Well, I've come across some thoughts on that, and here they are. Why don't we? Spiritual laziness, maybe? Like, you know what? I don't want to. I'm not interested. I just can't come around to do it, all those kind of things. Another good one, I'm too busy. And to which I say, really? To pursue your God-given purpose? I'd clear everything for that. You know the coolest thing about, and folks, listen, I've been there. I've been at the place where I've not been walking and working in my purpose and what God's called me to do, and they were miserable days. But man, when I'm walking in my purpose and what God's called me to do, not because I'm busy, not because I'm overwhelmed, I look at my wife, I'm like, what day is it today? You know what? You do that on vacation, right? Is it Tuesday? Is it Thursday? I'm not even sure what day about everyone around you. And when you love what God's called you to do, it changes everything about you, everything about everyone around you. It changes everything. Here's another excuse. God, like, never gonna use me. Sean, you just don't get it. You don't know what I've done. You know where I've been. You know what's going on. Like, I get that. Like, I'm barely even making it to heaven. I can't even see Jesus look my way. You know, all that kind of good stuff. No. Hey, listen. Paul says, each one, every single one of us, what happens if we allow God's Spirit to fill this house? What happens if we allow God's Spirit to fill this house? Hey, listen, it is my desire to walk beside every single one of you and help you understand your God-given purpose. It's why I exist. It's the thing that I love to do the most. I want to see you excel in everything God's called you to do. Stop walking around this world aimlessly. First and foremost, for you. Second of all, for all of those around you. Because God's doing something in our world. There's so much more than what we've seen. There's so much He wants to do. I mean, could you imagine if 100% of us attempted to pursue our spiritual gift? What would happen? Last 6 years have been great. Could you imagine what the next 6 years would be like? If we functioned in our spiritual gifts, not that doesn't mean we're not gonna have detours or stop signs or yields or anything like that. I'm not saying life's gonna be easy, but I'm telling you, man, the things that we'll get to see Jesus do through us. Would you stand with me? This song I asked Casey to sing, and she closed with it in the first set, and she's going to sing it now as well. And man, I really hope that it ministers to you, that you pay attention to it, and that it wouldn't be just a song, but it would become a prayer for you. That it's something you'd find yourself throughout the week praying through. Lord, I thank you so much for this faith family. God, I thank you for this body of Christ. So glad that I get to be a part of it. And God, I know salvation's so easy. We just get to receive it. And God, we have this spiritual gift, God, that you've given us. And there's going to be some work on our end in pursuing it. And so God, I pray that you would speak to us now. God, I pray that we would still ourselves before you, and Holy Spirit, would you, God, begin to reveal those things to us? Would we go home and do some research? Would we get online and take a test, God? Would you help us, God, to stop aimlessly walking, but to have purpose in every step that we take? It's your awesome name we pray. Let's worship the Lord together.
Fullness of eternal promise.